Not his churches. His word, amen. That's good. That comes out of the heart, amen. I like that kind of stuff. That's sweet. All right. Did you bring a Bible to Bible study night? Boy, you better. You better. Let's see here. Where did I leave off with everybody? Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah, I want to do this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 7. And it's just good to have everybody here tonight. And glad you came to the house of the Lord. And appreciate you being here. Countdown to homecoming is how many weeks away? Two? Three? Two? Somebody, who's preaching? Yeah. All right, I got 2 weeks in. Genesis chapter 7, good for you to be here tonight. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Appreciate everybody. Appreciate your prayers and what has. It's just been a good day. Amen. Father in heaven, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I thank you for this Bible. I thank you, Lord, that you teach us to depend on your word. Lord, it's not through the good things we do, Father. It's through the mistakes we make. The trips and the falls, Lord, the cracks that we fall into. Father, it's just through the rough areas of life, Lord, that we learn how right this Bible is. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would just instill it into our hearts tonight. Let us understand, God, that it is a battle that we face. It's a battle for our faith. It's a battle for our homes and our church. A battle, Lord, Father, for the core, Lord, of what you want your church to be. Father, equip us as good soldiers. Father, give us knowledge, give us understanding. And Lord, give us, teach us wisdom. Lord, like Brother George said this morning, God, we read and study your word, and then it becomes alive when we go through your word in life, and things happen, Lord, and we see ourselves in the pages of this book. The Father, I thank you for that, and what a life that you've given us to live. You've made us lower than the angels, and yet you have given us a crown of glory, fades not away. Father, just bless your book tonight. Open up your hand wide and feed your people. And Lord, once again, we come to you as the neighbor to us. Lord, I have nothing to give them, and they're on a very, very long journey. And Lord, sometimes we get tired and we get hungry. And Lord, I have nothing to give them. So Lord, would you rise and give us bread that we may continue on, Lord, this way of life that you've given us to live. Bless your word. Open it up to our eyes and our understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. In Genesis chapter 7, I touched on this a little bit last week, and I'm going to just really kind of dive into it today. It's about the future impact of the flood. What impact does the flood and the story of Noah have for those of us living today and any generation of people that would be around at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, Jesus is the ark. He is the place of salvation. He is the one that we go into and God seals us. God shuts that door. God keeps us safe inside of there because there's something coming to this world. Another flood. Not water. Okay? It's not a flood of water. Let's find out. Genesis 7, verse 17. The flood was 40 days upon the earth. There's a clue. It's a number. 40. And the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. The waters prevailed, were increased greatly upon the earth. The ark went upon the face of the waters. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. The mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive. And they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now, turn your Bible to Matthew 24. Let's get some knowledge and understanding there. Something I haven't covered in this particular teaching, but I do cover this. The series on the Bible truth of the rapture. And I lay out the case for the fact that, number one, I do not know, you do not know, Hunter does not know, the day and the hour of the Lord's appearing. Amen? Who was that guy a few years ago that made a claim? Can't remember his name. He's now died now. But he made this big wild claim that he knew the day the rapture was going to take place. And he made a big deal about it. Said there's no way in the world he can be wrong. And it didn't happen. And so when it didn't happen, he rearranged some of his figures and his mathematics. And he said, oops, I was wrong. Talk about Captain Obvious. Okay? So he adjusted the date. Then it didn't happen again. And you know what he finally said? I think I was wrong. Okay? I am reasonably sure that before he died, he repented of everything that he did. He did great harm to the cause of the kingdom of Christ. When you lie about God and you are proven to be a liar, you can't get people to believe you after that. It's hard. Okay? And there are things I'll talk about, things I won't even touch on, because I have no idea if they're true or not. And so I just learned to just stick with the Bible. Amen? Okay? But I do not know the day nor the hour. However, and we know what Jesus said. Jesus said, no man knoweth the day or the hour. Okay? But I want us to look at context. Context is everything. Okay? You've heard me talk about this. When you read a verse, go before that verse. Read what comes up to that verse. Read a verse, read after that verse. See what comes after that verse. And see more of what God is saying. Not that God's saying something different, but you're seeing all of what God is saying. Okay? If I were to say, I would love the devil when I see him burning in the lake of fire, or I would love to see the devil burning in the lake of fire. See, context means I couldn't work that out right, but you get what I'm saying. Okay, let's read the whole thing. All right, Matthew 24. Let's go to, let's see, verse 36. All right. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, we also know that what the Father has, the knowledge and everything that God has, He has in a book in His hand. Jesus said in John 16, all things that the Father hath, He hath given into my hand. You look at Revelation 5 and 6, the book that is in God's right hand, He then gives to Jesus and He unseals what's in there. Okay? And then he says in John 16, he talks about the Holy Spirit. He said, I have many things to say unto you, but you're not able to bear them. But when the Holy Spirit of truth has come, he will show you these things, but he will show you things to come. All right? So, the context of Matthew 24, when he says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only, he doesn't just stop there. He keeps on going with the thought, and he says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then he's going to explain exactly what he means. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the what? The day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now if you read this right here, who is it that knows not until the flood comes? Who is it that doesn't know? According to this right here, the lost people, who, what it says, knew not until the flood came and took them all away. He specifically mentioned Noah and the day that he entered into the ark. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. This is not contradicting what Christ said. In fact, it is confirming what Christ said and how he said it. He does not say here that, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He does not say here that nobody knows now and nobody will ever know. He does not say that. He says right now they do not know. Only the Father knows. But in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, surely the Lord doeth nothing, but he revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets. Those servants, the prophets, are right here in this book. So Genesis chapter 7, and look at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And he says in verse 2 and 3, very quickly, he's, you know, talking about the animals he's going to bring in. And look at verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all the Lord had commanded him. So what we see here, Jesus specifically mentioned the day. He said, until the day that Noah went into the ark. The day that Noah went into the ark, God told him to go in, and then he said, in 7 days, I'm going to flood this earth. Noah knew. Noah and his family knew. Noah, they went in the ark. All the animals are in the ark. God said, in 7 days, I'm going to do this thing. And Noah sat in the ark for 7 days. Probably making scratches on his calendar. Day 3, day 4, day 5. He's getting nervous, right? Because he knows, man, this thing's going to hit hard. Day 7, and all of a sudden, creak, the door shuts. And they're all, and you just think about this. Make a better movie than Russell Crowe, amen? Just, and all of a sudden, pitter-patter, pitter-patter, pitter-patter. A little rain starts, you know how it goes. And then all of a sudden, and then they say, boy, I'm glad we're saved, amen? Amen, okay? But here's the thing. Noah knew. The people outside of the ark, Noah could have told them for 7 straight days. They didn't care. They didn't listen. They didn't believe him. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Okay? So what am I saying? That God's going to show some kook on the internet and he's going to make a video? No. God's people are going to find out the way Noah did. God's going to tell them. And I think it's going to be right here. Okay? I don't know the day and the hour, but I know it's in a book. Okay? And I'm be honest with you. When God, 1998, God first called me into prophecy, I dove right into the day and the hour. I did. I went, I'm going to figure it out. And 2 or 3 months, and God finally just grabbed me and pulled me back and said, Mike, stop. Don't worry about it. Okay? I'm not telling you. You're not going to see it before everybody else does. You're not going to make history. Just cool it. And I went, okay. And since that day, I have not cared. I've not tried to do calculations and do math and figure out feast days. And I don't care. I don't. When the Lord gets ready to come, he's going to come. I believe he's going to show his people. And we'll all know. Okay? He doesn't do, Lot knew. Lot knew when Sodom was going to be destroyed. Elijah knew when he was going to be translated. All these people in the Bible knew what God was going to do. They may not have knew it for long, but they knew what God was going to do. And I believe God reveals secrets to his people. Can I hear you say amen? Now, I had mentioned this last week in Genesis 7, since you're there. And this is kind of where I left it off last week. In Genesis 7, the Bible says in verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and all the windows of heaven were open. And I showed you last week that in Revelation 9, Revelation 6, Revelation 12, And then I'm working on something for homecoming called the Day of the Lord. And what I like to do is tie different places in the Bible together by things that God said. And there's many, many other places where God teaches this idea. The flood that is coming to this world is a spiritual flood. Now, you know me well enough to know when I say spiritual, I don't mean make-believe, only in your mind, and then that's it. When I say spiritual, I mean spirits. Literally, spirits. Okay? A kingdom is going to dominate this world. It is a kingdom of very, very evil angels. It is the dragon, the beast, all the angels that were kicked out of heaven. That's Genesis 12, Revelation 12, Revelation 6, Isaiah 13. I'm trying to go over my notes and what I was working on today, and all these places in the Bible where the stars of heaven are going to fall to the earth. But then they're coming up out of the pit. The beast comes up out of the pit. The false prophet comes up out of the earth. The Muslim Messiah, quote unquote, their Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I, who they believe is going to return to the earth and take over the world for Allah, he does not come from the heavens. He's in a well. He's trapped in a well, in a pit, and he's going to rise up out of that pit one of these days. And I'm going, okay, I know who that is. Okay, I got that one. That's easy. Okay, that's the beast. Listen, the Muslim religion is a religion of the Antichrist. Just ask them. Because everything they are is Antichrist. But a kingdom is coming to flood this earth. Okay? Think about, let's apply it this way. Think about television in the last 50 years. Okay, 50 years ago would be 1966. Let's go back a little bit farther. 1963, 1964, television changed. A lot of things changed. After 63, a lot of things changed after 63. Okay, I don't know why, but it did. Okay, and television now is flooded with adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, murders, cursings, nudity, you name it. Sodomy, it's everywhere. Okay? It is flooded with it. Music is indecent now and immoral to listen to. It is flooded with iniquity. The love songs of the 50s and 60s, where they alluded to certain things, now in many songs they just come out and say the filthiest things that anybody can say. They say now in songs, and it's approved, it's fine, and kids are listening to it. So we're seeing now the flood. You follow me? You see where I'm going with this? Okay, so let's go to our Bibles and let's look at this flood. Psalm 18:4, the sorrows of death compass me, and the floods, here it is, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Now, here's something interesting I want to throw at you, and I'm not sure I have the answer yet. Back in Genesis 7, does anybody remember how many days the waters prevailed on the earth? In other words, it rained for 40 days, but the waters kept going up till they reached 15 cubits above the highest mountain. Okay, does anybody know how many days that was? 150. How many psalms are there? Bingo. We're not playing bingo. Okay. B150. Okay. I don't think it's an accident. And if you study, go make it a goal this week to read through the psalms. You can do that. It'll do some good, by the way. And you'll see a progression. Because if somebody asks me, well, I'm having trouble with this, and I'm going to send them to the psalms, I kind of know where about to send them. When you get to the last of the Psalms, you know what you see? Almost nothing but pure praise. Okay? But you see a progression in the Psalms through the 150 Psalms. And there's no doubt in my mind that those Psalms match the progression of that time. 150 days. Okay? But if you want to understand the floods and the waters overflowing and so on, you're going to see it in the Psalms. Turn to Psalm 32. And while you're doing that, I'm going to stall for a minute because I have a verse in my mind and I got to make sure I know where it is before I tell you where to turn to it. It's not there. Somebody look a verse up for me. The Lord hath a mighty and a strong one. Somebody look that up. The Lord hath a mighty and a strong one. I think those are the words. All right? Anyway, Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time. Notice he mentions a time. In a time when thou mayest be found. Because what happens for 7 days before God shuts the door to the ark? God may be found. But when God shuts that door, who's he opening it up for to save him after he shuts the door? No, not one. When God shuts that door, that's it. And I have always had a problem with people telling everybody, and there's even websites up that'll say to you, now if you miss the rapture, read this website because this will show you how to be saved during that time. And I'm just going, Tim LaHaye promoted that in the Left Behind. And I'm just going, I think that's a bad idea. It's sort of along the line, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons teach this, and other groups, they tell you that if you miss serving the Lord here in this life, when you stand in the great white throne judgment, he'll give you one more chance. Shoot, if I believed that, John, if me and you believed that, where would we be tonight? Not here. Okay? Oh, I'll get one more chance. No big deal. I don't know, sir. He says, do it in a time when thou mayest be found. And then he follows it up, but he says, surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Now, part of me absolutely believes that a probationary time is given to churches all over the world where God says, I'm getting real serious now. I think you ought to start repenting of some of the stuff, some of the nonsense you've been putting on over these years. Amen? I think God's going to give, because remember, judgment begins first at the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17. Underline that. Find that. Underline it in your Bible. And I think this tells us that in a time of this flood, God is giving his people a time to repent. Okay? So look at verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Think of where Noah was. He was hidden. Remember, he was in Christ. He was in the ark. I'll show you another one. I don't have this in my notes. But I feel a little bold tonight. Is that okay? 1 Peter, okay, where is it? I was going to say Isaiah 28 too. I was. Okay, well, hold on to that. Okay? Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. In Luke chapter 1, Zacharias is and Elizabeth are told that Elizabeth is going to bear a child. And she is like Sarah. And she is old, okay? And so is Zacharias, but they're very faithful people. And so, let's see here. Where are we going to find this at? Let me go over here. I can't. I know what I'm looking for. I can't see it. Somebody help me out here. Huh? How do you know what I'm talking about? It is verse 24. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself. How long? That's 150 days. It's the exact same amount of time that the devils come up out of the pit and they sting everybody in Revelation 9. 5 months, exactly. She hides herself 5 months. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. So even in the flood of great waters, the flood of ungodly men, this world's wicked, but I've seen even lost people do good things. But I think there's coming a time when God's going to turn them over. And there will be no goodness left in man. They will be ungodly men coming in as a flood. Psalm 69, turn there. Psalm 69. Verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Well, that's something we all struggle with, don't we? Waiting for God. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I get a little mad. Okay? I get a little upset waiting on God. Okay? But God is always faithful. Don't ever forget that. Verse 4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. That's a prophecy of Christ, by the way. Verse 10, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. A lot of this in Psalm 69 matches the same theme that's in Psalm 32. It's about repentance, about a time of sorrow and a time of repentance, a time of chastening and fasting. So verse 11, I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, and here it is, in an acceptable time. There it is again. In an acceptable time. A time of probation, a time of decision, a time when God is going to linger a little bit longer. And he's going to wait. And he's going to give people a chance to repent. Hasn't that been something that you've asked God for? I have. God, when it is my time to die, I want my conscience clear. I want my soul right. I want to know my sins are forgiven. I'll never forget. Went into Lee Walsh. The night that he died, I was over here at the hospital. Betty called me and said, Lee's in bad shape. Will you come over here? So I went to visit with him. And she met me out in the hall and she said, now he's just kind of talking out of his head. He just ain't, I don't know what to get out of him. And I don't know what's bad. So I went in there and as soon as he saw me walk through the door, he just kind of sat up and said, hello, Brother Mike. And I went, is that gibberish? Is that, you know? And we talked for a little bit. Lee, how you doing? He said, oh, I've been better. And he was just real, you know, had his real soft voice, you know. And then he said, I just want to pray. I said, okay, Lee, pray. And he prayed. And he got done. He said, I just wanted to make sure that I was right with God. He died that night. I'll never forget as long as I live. Okay? He was. Betty said, he's just talking out of his head, ain't making sense. But the Spirit of the Lord came in that room and gave him and everybody around there who was listening the peace and knowledge of knowing where he was when he died. That's God to his people. You want to talk about the day of the Lord? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, those who are children of the day, that day does not overtake us as a thief. Right here, this is the time. Okay? The time. Where do we leave off here? Verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. Listen, I promise you, before it's your time to walk out of this earth, if you're saved, God's going to give you that peace in your heart. And you're going to know. I promise you. Okay? So you worry about it, right? You're like me. You worry about it. Read your Bible. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the what? Deep waters. He's mentioned flood in verse 2. He's mentioned deep waters here in verse 14. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow the deep. Where's the beast coming from? The pit. Hell. Hell. I'm going to put together a little thing called hell on earth. Okay? Hell on earth. The kingdom of hell itself. Overtaking planet earth. It's going to happen. This is what it's talking about. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Why does it say her? Do you know hell's a woman? Sorry, ladies. That's just what it is. The Bible says hell hath enlarged herself. When the in Genesis 4, the earth opened her mouth to drink Abel's blood. Her is Babylon. And she's bloodthirsty. She's a drunkard. Remember, I think it's in this passage here where he said, I'm the song of the drunkards. God, I think during this time, is going to pour out a spirit of slumber and drunkenness on lost people, including lost church people. And I think it's going to look like they're having revival because they're all in a drunken mess. But anyway, she opens her mouth. Proverbs says the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. Okay? You know, there's many applications for that, but one of them is the doctrines that Babylon teaches will do nothing but swallow people up. Amen? Okay? If you've ever followed false doctrine in your life, you know it. Okay? Because her steps lead to hell, and her mouth is basically the gateway to hell itself. Okay? Wow. And that's where the floods are coming from. Coming up out of the heart of the earth. They're falling down from the sky. A lot of stuff there. Turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. And he's talking about the wicked. He's going to carry away this world with a flood. And it's a flood of absolute pure evil. It's going to take over. You see, if you do comparisons, the kingdom of God, let's say in the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, when everything's new and all this old stuff's passed away, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of pure righteousness. will not be, when we are in that perfected state, we will not be sinning, will not be lusting, will not be coveting, will not be doing any of the things that we wrestle with down here. It just won't be there. Pure holiness, pure right. We'll be so holy, the book of Revelation says we'll be able to see the face of God. I wouldn't want to do it now. Thank God for the mediator. Amen? So turn that upside down. The kingdom, this fourth kingdom, Daniel chapter 2, this is the fourth kingdom right here. This fourth kingdom is pure evil. Even your own family members are going to turn on you. They are. Your lost parents, your lost brothers and sisters, your lost children, your lost grandchildren, your aunts and uncles, they are all going to turn on you in a way that I think is going to amaze people. But listen, we're the ones who are not supposed to put family first, God last. Because that'll get you in trouble every time. Okay? I'm not saying hate your family. You pray for, I told you this morning, you ought to pray for lost family members that they're saved. You ought to beckon them to get in the ark. Or ask God, God, bring them like you brought them zebras. Okay? Just bring them, okay? Psalm 93. You could literally just go through the whole psalm. Again, I just, if you're looking for something to do this week, just make it a point to read 150 psalms. And try to read the first 118 as fast as you can. Because the 119th one's going to take you a while. Okay? Anyway, Psalm 93. You know what? Let's get the gist of this. I'm going to start in verse 1. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also was established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Now verse 3. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods have lifted up their waves. Now here, it is ascribing personal attributes to these floods. Okay? Personal attributes, like they literally have a voice. Okay? I know the Bible talks about the sea and the waves roaring. Okay? That, to me, that's interesting. I like to hear the roaring of the waves within limits. All right? Some of the waves are fun. The bigger ones are not. These waves have a voice. All right? Who in here knows anything about the New Age? Todd, you're our New Age expert. Frequencies. Crystals, right? Crystals are quote-unquote sacred in the New Age movement and wacky stuff because supposedly their frequencies can do things for people like heal cancer and all kinds of stuff. You got any knowledge on that, or did you do any research into that? Or yeah. Get in tune with your own body's vibrations. Like, I don't know, what do you, when you're cold, or, you know. Then I hear, and I'm seeing these things, people sending me stuff like this, you can change your DNA. You can change your DNA and open yourself up to new horizons. Change the frequency of your DNA. Okay? So I kept seeing all these things about frequencies all in the new, and I'm looking in the, what, where's that in the Bible? Of course, the Bible didn't use the word frequency, but then I thought about what frequencies were. They're waves. Okay? And right here, that's what you have. The floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their waves, and remember, believe that these are spirits taking over. Evil, very, very evil spirits. A third of the angels in heaven who decided that they wanted to try to take heaven over. That's how evil. Some of them so evil that God had to lock them in prison, in the pit, and not let them out until a certain time. That's how evil they are. God is reserving them for a specific time, but then He's going to turn them loose. And they're just going to do what it is that they have been created to do. And that is to sting only those who have not the seal of God. They're going to go after them. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. And here again, the floods are coming. The floods have lifted up their waves. The noise of their waves is out there, and yet the Lord is mightier than all of those waves. And thy testimonies are sure. Whatever doubt you may have about the Word of God, I promise you, you won't have them on that day. Amen? You'll be convinced. Isaiah 28, I do have it in my notes. See, I told you I knew it. Isaiah 28, let's read that and get the gist of it, all right? See, when you see Isaiah 28, I think you'll see what I'm talking about. Remember, he mentioned the song of the drunkards. 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, but it only comes as a thief to those who are children of the night. They that drink, or they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunk are drunk in the night. Unless you're my uncle, then you're drunk all day long and the night, okay? But anyway, a drunken spirit being poured out in that day where people have become possessed with a spirit that causes a drunkenness about them. That's already flooding into churches right now, all over the place. So in Isaiah 28, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them which are overcome with wine. Look at verse 2. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one. I think that's the Antichrist. Notice that the Lord hath him, which means that God has him in reserve. He created him. He is going to use him for a specific purpose, just like God used Pharaoh. He's going to turn him loose to do what God has preordained for him to do. None of what the devil and the Antichrist does in these days is outside of God being in charge of every single aspect of it. Don't believe somebody telling you, oh, the devil, oh, he got this one. Oh, that. Now listen, God allowed it for some reason. God allowed it for some reason. The Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which as a tempest of hail... You know what? Stop right there. Hold your place right there. Tempest of hail. Turn to Revelation. Chapter 8. Who remembers a day when I just preached out of one chapter in the Bible? It's been a long time. Revelation chapter 8. Verse 5. Well, let's go to verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed what? Hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. There's your hailstorm right there. Okay? Now go back to Isaiah 28. The Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. And then you have verse 7 and 8 talking about, but they also have erred through wine and strong drink are out of the way. Very, very important passage on understanding the false teachers and the false doctrine that's pervading in this world today. It has to do with a spirit of drunkenness. When you're drunk, you don't understand things. When you're drunk, you err in vision, the Bible says. You don't see things right. You stumble in judgment. You stagger. What was it said of Abraham? That he, against hope, he believed in hope and staggered not at the promises of God. You know what that means? He was not drunk. God gave him a sober mind, and he staggered not at the promises of God. You know what's going to happen when God pours His Spirit out? They're going to stagger at the promises of God. They're drunk, which means they're not going to believe the Bible. Listen, you believe the Bible now? Say amen. You pray that God holds on to you in that. God, don't let me stagger. God, don't let me waver. God, don't turn me over to a drunken harlot spirit. I'd rather be killed by Babylon than be part of her. Amen. Turn to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. Then the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You're holding that standard in your hand right there. You're underlining passages in it. That's the standard right there. But notice Isaiah 28, the mighty one's coming in like a flood of mighty waters. Isaiah 59, the enemies shall come in like a flood. Jeremiah 46, 7, who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? So the Bible's telling you that the days of Noah are coming again. And it is a flood. Not a flood of waters, because God swore that He would not do that again. But He's going to flood this earth with very, very evil, bad spirits dominating everybody. You ever been around someone and the way they were acting, you just knew that there was a spirit moving in them and working in them that was just bad? Imagine that same scenario now, nonstop, in everybody except God's saints. You'll need to be in the ark. You'll need it. Jeremiah 47. I'm almost done. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 47, 2, thus saith the Lord, behold, waters rise up out of the north, and shall be an overflowing flood, and shall overflow the land and all that is therein. What direction? The north. You know what God said in Joel chapter 3? That the army that comes up out of the pit is the northern army. God says that all through the book of Jeremiah, I'm going to send evil out of the north, a great destruction. Well, the north is where God came from in Ezekiel chapter 1, came up out of the north. Now, I don't have the perfect explanation for this, but it seems to me that the north in the Bible indicates the spiritual realm. Does that make sense? Okay. Again, I don't know why. My little theory I've been working on this week is that probably for the same reason, every magnet in the world will always point in what direction? North. Okay. Why? I don't know. And I hate that. I want to know. But the north direction is the direction where the spiritual things come from. Okay. God coming up out of the north. Then you have a very evil nation coming up out of the north. You have the northern army, the book of Joel. And in that case, that's coming up out of the pit. So that's why he says here, out of the north shall be an overflowing flood, and shall overflow the land and all that is therein, the city and them that dwell therein. Then the men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the land shall howl. No wonder they're outside the ark. Nahum chapter 1 verse 8, but with an overflowing flood he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. Now, just to finish with this, and I don't know if I have this. Yeah, I do. Turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Now, hopefully, this parable that Jesus taught us is going to make sense. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. I love that song. Remind me, we'll do that Sunday morning for Sunday school. We'll do the... Okay? Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them... Very important. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Who is that rock? Jesus. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Are you worried about those days coming? I am. But I believe what God said. Verse 26, and every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I am worried. Noah was worried. Noah was concerned. I'm sure they weren't sitting there playing go fish when the waters broke loose. Did you hear that? Did you hear anything? I didn't hear anything. I'm sure they were hanging on to something, but they were safe. And they had that confidence that God helped them build that ark. And I just like this because I was thinking about that when we were visited that ark in Kentucky and saw that big building, and I was thinking about how all the people built that and put it together. Then I remembered the story of Noah building that ark. Noah and his three sons. God saved the world by way of four. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I'm going, okay, that's pretty cool. Okay? Four men saved the world. Okay? And it's the same thing in these last days. It's the cross, people. The cross. You hang on to that cross, you'll be safe. Okay? Again, stand to your feet. And just take this then in a practical application in your life. Because everybody gets beat down with the flood of ungodliness. And are you still saved? Are you still in the ark? God's salvation is sure, people. It's right. It's sure. And when those waves come and when that flood comes rolling in, you will be glad that you built your house upon the rock. Amen. Father, bless your word. What a joy it is to go through this book and share it, Father. I pray, dear God, that you would bless its words. Father, make it fruitful in our lives. Teach us things that we know not. Father, prepare us for days that come. And Father, even give us knowledge and wisdom for the days that are right now. God, no matter how hard the hail has hit, the waves of ungodly things and men, Lord, have flooded over. Lord, the ark is still floating. It's still rising. It's still sure. You're still God, and you're very good to your people. So, Lord, just continue to bless. Open up our eyes. Teach us some good things. Father, let us, Lord, go back and then study these things and, Lord, meditate on these things in our minds, Lord, about issues of life that we just seem like we're just being overflowed with. And help us to remember, God, that you still give us that time to call unto you for salvation. Thank you, God, for this book. Thank you for the word. We pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you tonight.